This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. We are back today for another Q&A episode of this podcast. We made a slight improvement to our podcast schedule just a couple weeks ago, adding a Saturday episode every single week, exclusively dedicated to answering your questions, sharing opinions, helping you through your hard moments. So keep those questions and topics coming. You can send them to primalpotential.com/inbox. So you just go to that URL, primalpotential.com/inbox, and we will make sure to address your question, your struggle, your challenge. If you just want to talk about something, we will do that. primalpotential.com/inbox. We've got a lot of great questions today. We will be talking about procrastination, about sustaining and amplifying motivation, and something I'm super passionate about, raising healthy children. So we're going to go there. Before we do, though, I wanted to let you know about a free event that we are hosting online. First time I think we've done something like this, a 4-night free online event all about creating change. We're going to be going through the 4 pillars of creating change. These are things that can be applied to every single aspect of your life. We will focus on 1 per night for 4 nights, beginning tomorrow, Sunday, March 24th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, continuing Monday, the following day, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Tuesday, you guessed it, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then wrapping up on Wednesday. And I will make sure to give lots of examples of how you can apply these tools in your own life, and I will leave plenty of time to do Q&A, answer your questions live. I love the podcast. It's super fun. But what I love even more is when I get to engage with you in real time, when you can ask your questions right there and I answer it right then. I think that's fun and also a really great way to connect with you and add value to your life. The reason this came up, and I started talking about it this past Wednesday when I did a Q&A for everybody on the Spring 12 Weeks to Transformation waitlist, opened up registration to the 12 Weeks to Transformation that evening with them, and we were talking about these 4 pillars for change: awareness, alignment, advancement, and adjustment. And we talked about how we integrate those 4 pillars into every single aspect of the 12 Weeks to Transformation. And the response was so positive, we're going to do a 1-night seminar on each of them. So Sunday night, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to this the day this show airs, we're going to focus on the awareness piece. What does it mean? How can you practice it? In what areas of your life? If you've got a specific topic in mind, a particular struggle or area where you want to create improvement, how can you increase your awareness in that area? We'll give lots and lots of examples. And like I said, since it'll be live, I'll answer any questions that you have. Then on Monday, we're going to talk about alignment. That's probably my favorite. Tuesday, we'll talk about adjustment. Nope. Tuesday, we'll talk about advancement. Wednesday, we'll talk about adjustment, tweaking, fine-tuning, troubleshooting, all of that kind of stuff. And each of the 4 nights, I will address your questions. So register by going to the show notes for today's episode. Even if you're listening to this a few days in and you're like, oh, I've missed 2 nights. I gotcha. It's fine. Go to the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/575. Register there. It's okay if you can make 1 session, 2 sessions, 3 sessions, all 4's best, but I will be sending out replays to folks who are registered. So make sure it's totally free. Make sure you are registered. And I'd love to have you there live because we get to engage more. The reason that I decided to add this 4-part seminar, in addition to the fact that it just really spoke to a lot of people on that live Q&A we had this past Wednesday, I'll also, Sarah, make note for me to add the replay from Wednesday to the show notes for today's episode, because I don't want to forget to do that. If you guys are curious about that, what we talked about on Wednesday, I will put the replay in the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/575. When we were talking about this, I was sharing that it came from my desire to figure out how can I synthesize? How can I quickly and concisely explain why it is that people go through the 12 weeks to transformation and say it saved their marriage? Why people go through the 12 weeks to transformation and say it dramatically changed their financial situation? Or it made them infinitely happier? That they came in for weight loss, but they left with something so much more. And I wanted to be able to communicate clearly how the challenges within the 12 weeks to transformation address these things. So that's where this four-part structure came from. We will be diving into it in much more detail. Go to primalpotential.com/575 so that you can participate in that four-night thing. It's going to be fun and it's totally free. So why wouldn't you? I'm looking forward to seeing you there. All right, today we've got a bunch of questions, and I thought it would be super fun for me and hopefully for you too to do these Q&As a little bit differently and bring Sarah into the mix. So despite the fact that the podcast thing is new to her and she is very visibly nervous, and I kind of like that. It's fun for me, like pushing people out of their comfort zone. It's fun, but we're taking it easy. So I've got Sarah here to read the questions that have come in because she's been seeing them every single day. When you go to primalpotential.com/inbox and you submit the question, it goes to Sarah. She's sitting 3 feet across from me and we chat about it, which ones we're going to go through on today's episode. And she's been on the team for like 3 weeks or so now, like almost a month. It's really crazy. So we're doing this. We're going there. And I hope you guys enjoy it. All right, Sarah, are you ready to do this?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty ready.
How have the last few weeks been? I'm thinking slowly because there's been a lot going on. We've been making really significant improvements to Primal Potential, and it's all very new to Sarah, and working with somebody is also really new to me. So just ballpark, how has it been?
It's going totally well. I am loving it, definitely out of my comfort zone, but I really am loving it. I'm loving being a part of this community and learning.
We're so happy to have you. It's long overdue. I will tell you that so many times a week, I'm like, no, seriously, how did I ever do this like without you? How did I ever like get everything done? Because she's outright from the moment she walks through the door till the moment she leaves, there's 100 million things to do. And we never get through a list in a day. Like the list just keeps growing. And I'm out straight working from, you know, the minute my day starts till the minute it ends. So it's been interesting, but we've got some great questions. We're going to get right to it. What is the first thing we're diving into today? You want to share that question with us?
All right. First question is, how can I sustain, amplify, or fuel the internal motivation to do this to be healthy for the long run? I'm used to intense short bursts of effort driven by external motivation like dieting programs and training programs.
I love this question because it seems to me that if we could all effortlessly sustain and amplify motivation, we would just be superheroes, right? Fortunately, we don't have to always be motivated. And I'll say that I get the struggle, right? Because this was the way I lived my life. I would have this external motivator, like, the holidays are coming, so I have to see my family, so I better eat as little as possible between now and then so I can try to, you know, look a little bit better, something crazy like that. Or, hey, it's, you know, vacation time coming up, so I'm going to go on some crazy crash diet. But then when there was no carrot, when there was no thing dangling in front of me, I wouldn't feel super motivated, you know? That is why one of my strongest recommendations for remaining motivated in any day is focusing on winning the day you are in. Now, that might seem oversimplified, but it is a very powerful paradigm shift when you go from why should I to all that matters is today. How can I make myself feel amazing today? And the tool I use for that is journaling. I know this comes up constantly on the podcast and is the cornerstone of our 12 weeks to transformation. But the awareness that comes from journaling, it is the redirect of your mind, because otherwise what happens is we go through these peaks and valleys, right? And the motivational peak comes when you feel like something's on the line. And then when something's not on the line, you go into this motivational valley and it feels really unreliable and it feels uncontrollable. The way we even it out, the way we live more in the middle, even more towards the peak of motivation, is by changing our perspective from why should I to how can I win today? How do I want to feel today? How can I just pay more attention to the choices I make today? I talk about this in episode 559, so I will link to episode 559 in the show notes for today's episode. But one of the questions I ask myself every single day is, what will it take to feel amazing today? And that is a pattern, a practice, a habit that you can build, that you can create, because it takes some reprogramming to go from, well, I'm motivated because I'm going on vacation, or I'm motivated because I'm going to see old friends on Saturday night, to a practice of, I just want to feel really good in my clothes today, or I want to feel really high energy today, or I want to feel confident today. We all can acknowledge certain choices that make us feel like garbage. But we don't have to wait until our jeans don't fit or our budget is too tight. We just have to build this routine of, what can I do today to make myself proud? What can I do to make myself feel amazing? And that creates a cycle of accelerated returns. The better you feel, the better you want to feel, the more consistent you're going to be. In fact, just last night, I had one of those moments. I have a pint of Halo Top ice cream in the freezer. For those of you that don't know, it's kind of like a higher protein, very low sugar, lower calorie ice cream thing. So the pint of ice cream, I think it has like 280 calories. The flavors are different. So that's just for the flavor that's in my fridge, vanilla or strawberry or something. And it wasn't a matter of, do I want the ice cream? Yes or no? Because yeah, ice cream's good. I really like it. It wasn't a matter of, well, I've been really good today. You can train yourself into a new way of making those decisions, which can just be, how do I want to feel? When I wake up tomorrow, how do I want to feel? When I go to bed tonight, how do I want to feel? The second piece of this, beyond journaling, is having a better understanding of motivation in general. Beginning with, motivation is not a prerequisite for action. Motivation flows from action. So we don't need to wait until we're motivated. We do something and then motivation is the byproduct. It flows from that. And many of you have heard me talk about Brendon Burchard's breakdown of motivation. He writes about it in his book, The Motivation Manifesto. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. He explains that there are three core elements of motivation, and each of those elements has two subcomponents. When we talk about it, and it's really interesting too, because this particular question uses two of the words. It asks about sustaining and amplifying motivation, and the other of the three elements is the spark. So there's the spark of motivation, which is what most of us are familiar with, and then we have to sustain it, and then we have to amplify it. Then within those three components, spark, sustain, amplify, there's two subcomponents. So the spark comes from a combination of ambition and expectancy. Ambition is what you want, that thing you want, whether it's to feel amazing in your clothes, to love the way you look naked, to lower your blood sugar, to have $2,000 in the bank, whatever that is. Expectancy is the other piece of the spark. Do I believe that I can and I will achieve this thing? Sustaining motivation comes from a combination of attention and effort. If we think about our attention, are we focused on the change we want to make? Or are we focused on all the temptations? Are we focused on all the barriers, all the obstacles? And then effort. What you doing about it? Are you trying? consistently, every single day? Can you try more? Amplifying motivation comes from a combination of your attitude and your environment. Most people who are not motivated have a huge opportunity for improvement with their attitude. If you're not motivated, it is really unlikely that you have an amazing attitude about your goal. Change your attitude, you change your motivation. And then, as far as environment, a lot of people get tripped up on this one because they say, well, I can't control my environment. You know, these people that I work with are just grumps, or people who live in my house are complainers. The beautiful thing is that in 2019, we have dramatic control over our environment. Our environment is influenced by the books we read, the podcasts we listen to, the people we connect with. And my environment is the number one reason that I created the Primal Potential Masters Club, because I wanted to have more people in my life who were positive, who were enthusiastic, who were making progress towards their goals, who were being honest with themselves, who were looking for accountability and growth. And one of the big ways to improve your environment is to surround yourself with those kinds of people. And it doesn't have to be the people that live in your house or work in your office or the people you go out with on Friday night. So if you are not motivated, if you are struggling to sustain or amplify that motivation, number one, journal. Challenge yourself every day. What can I do today to generate motivation? Knowing that motivation flows from action, flows from progress. And then you can also listen to episode 559 on some specifics about identity journaling in particular. And then look at those components of motivation. How is your attitude? Can you improve your environment? How about your effort? Think about those six elements of motivation: ambition, expectancy, attention, effort, attitude, and environment. Where do you have room for improvement? Ooh, that was like a podcast all in and of itself. I don't know. Do you think that we're good on that one?
Yeah, I think we covered everything.
Okay, what is the next question?
Okay, the next question is super broad, but I think it's worth diving into. The question just says, how do I become better?
Effort. That's what I think, effort. And you can hear the effort happening outside in my office. If you hear hammering, that is the construction guy renovating my office. But okay, no, seriously, how do you get better? Effort is kind of the, like, you know, try harder. But this goes back to something we just talked about, which is awareness. Awareness. What do you want to get better at? One of my core beliefs is that specificity is a superpower. It's not enough to say, I just want to be better. So many people will say this, like, I just want to eat better. That is so vague. It is not a tool. When you are granularly specific, it becomes a tool. So we'll start with, what do you want to be better at? And what specifically does better look like for you? If you were showing up right now today as the version of you that you want to be, what would that look like? If somebody says, I want to make better food choices. Okay, what does that look like? If you interacted with food, if you made food choices at the level you wished came naturally to you, was effortless to you, what specifically would that look like? Do not be vague. If I were in this person's position, this person who's saying, you know, how can I be better? And I said, I want to make better food choices, then I would be saying, okay, if I showed up today as the version of me where everything was going the way I wanted it to be, what would that look like? Okay, I would be the kind of person who wakes up first thing and has a glass of water, like water before coffee, number one. And then I would be the kind of person who, and this is just from my own standpoint, your answers can and should be very, very different. I am the kind of person who has like maybe 2 cups of coffee, but maybe not 12 cups of coffee. I don't know, just saying, you know, not that I drink 12 cups of coffee because I have big cups, but yeah. I would be the kind of person who has vegetables at every single meal, who eats when I'm hungry and doesn't eat when I'm not hungry, who consumes sugar infrequently. Same thing with processed food. Those things come into play maybe a couple of times a month instead of a couple of times a week, and certainly not a couple of times a day. And then, all right, now that I have that degree of specificity, which of those things am I able and willing to do today? If I am at point A with where I, whatever that goal is, and I want to be at point B that represents better, what am I able and willing to do today? What are the improvements I can make today? And that comes from specificity. Our ability to create change comes from our willingness to be specific, to focus on not the problem and not the generalized version of the solution, the vague version of the solution, but the very specific solution that moves us towards action today. It doesn't matter to me if you want to lose 200 pounds or save $100,000. What you doing about it today? Specificity is a superpower. All right. Specificity is key. I think that's enough on that one. All right. I think we got a few more questions. What you got now?
All right. Next question is, how do you unpattern a long history of procrastination?
Practice. How do you unpattern a long history of procrastination? I love that there's so much alignment, and we didn't do this intentionally. We just pulled these questions from a general queue. But this goes back to what we were talking about with specificity. Instead of just, how do I stop procrastinating? Where am I procrastinating? What are the things I am putting off? And what am I going to do about it today? Let's say that you've been putting off organizing your closet. And I'm using this example because I've kind of been putting that off a little bit. Instead of, oh my gosh, I need to stop putting this off, what am I going to do to move this project forward today? What am I going to do today? Instead of seeing it as an all or nothing thing, either I organize my closet or I continue putting it off. Well, maybe there's 17 components of organizing your closet. Which of them am I going to do today? And I just went through this over the last week. I first said to myself, okay, I'm going to go through all the clothes and I'm going to put together bags to donate. Done. Then I'm going to figure out how much I'm comfortable spending, because it's not going to remain a closet. So I don't want to put, you know, $200, $300, $500 into a space that's only a temporary closet. How much am I willing to spend for the short term? I don't know, $50. So, all right, now that I know that, let's go buy some stuff. And then it doesn't go from, oh, now these boxes are just sitting in the closet collecting dust. Step one, assemble them. Break it down into pieces. But this goes back to, are you focused on the problem, procrastination, or are you participating in the solution, right? Whatever it is, get really specific. I used to put my taxes off until the last minute, and then I would be super stressed out. Oh, there's all these things I have to do, and it felt like this insurmountable thing because I was getting emotional about the problem in general instead of getting tactical about the specific solution. So what I would do is I would write out every single step, not just I need to do my taxes, but, you know, step one is I have to gather my receipts. I need to find an accountant. I need to get on the phone with my bookkeeper, whatever it is. And this is actually something that you can use as a process with other people in your life. I do this with my boyfriend all the time. If I'm feeling really overwhelmed or there's something I'm putting off, as I make my list, I go through that list and I say to myself, are there things on here that are maybe stressing me out or hanging over my head that I can outsource to somebody else? And maybe that somebody else is in my house. Maybe that somebody else is an outside professional. Or maybe this is just ridiculous and it doesn't need to be done. There's always something we can do. So use specificity. What exactly am I putting off? What are the components of it? And then hold yourself to a reasonable standard of action. It really does come down to when you are in this, I procrastinate on everything, you are giving all of your energy and all of your attention to the problem. And what I am saying is not only shift that energy and attention to the solution, but to today's version of the solution. And then the other thing I'll say is never use yesterday or tomorrow as bargaining chips. Seriously, I've done podcasts on this about being myopic, singular and focus on today. Because we can procrastinate when we say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. So we're not saying no and we feel good about it because we've committed to doing it tomorrow. But it is just a tactic. It is a behavioral pattern that we can change right away. Instead of, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or justifying it with, I was so good yesterday, leave the past and the future out of it. There is no, oh, I'll go to the gym tomorrow, because yesterday and tomorrow do not factor into my decision making. If I'm going to do it today, I'm going to do it today. And whether or not I'm going to do it tomorrow is not part of the decision making process. That is a big part of procrastination when we just defer. So get in the practice and the habit through repetition, through repeated redirection of not putting it off till tomorrow. And I do this with work too. If I'm feeling like, oh, I gotta do a podcast, well, I'll break it down into little pieces. I need to come up with an outline. I need to come up with the title. I need to create the show notes, whatever else is going on. Which of those pieces am I able and willing to do? And then the last thing that I'll say about this is, how can you get yourself excited about it, right? Instead of, ugh, I have to do this thing. How are you going to feel when it's done? How can you focus on the win that's at the other side? How can you talk yourself into enthusiasm about that thing? I think that's all I got to say about that. Any other comments on that one?
Well, I was just thinking that I would totally procrastinate on doing a podcast because it's so uncomfortable for me. But knowing how good it's going to feel when it's done and the episode is out there is worth it. So focusing your energy on how good it's going to feel afterward.
And I mean, that's a practice of perspective. We always have the ability to choose to see something differently. So for as long as you allow your perspective to remain, this is going to suck, I don't want to do it, you're probably not going to. So use those moments of bleh as an opportunity to change your perspective. Okay, okay. I think we got another one.
Okay. How do you find the trigger that puts you into a depressed or negative state?
I think that this is fairly magical that we keep coming back to. Actually, it's not. Okay. I was going to say we keep coming back to the same things, but that is exactly this was not planned. That is the whole 4-part series that we're doing starting tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, the thing on creating change, those 4 pillars of awareness, alignment, advancement, and adjustment. The reason that no matter if we're talking about procrastination or motivation or negativity or journaling, that all the answers are the same is because this is what's so freaking exciting. It's just a small subset of tools that apply to everything. And when you realize that and you begin to practice them and you begin to incorporate them and they become your operating system, all change not only feels easier, but is easier. So to the question, which was, how do you find the trigger that puts you into a depressed or negative state? The first thing is awareness, journaling. Seriously, I am not paid by any journaling company, but this is really true. One of the reasons that we don't know what our triggers are is because we lack awareness. And that is a skill that we build, paying more attention to what you're doing, to how you're feeling. And I have journaled every single day for 6 years. And it's not like, oh, I ate a cup of lettuce. No. I keep track of my energy. I keep track of my mood. I'm paying attention to little things. Like if you were to look at my journal, you would see that there's little notes of like grumpy, sad, calm, focused, distracted. I'm paying attention. And the more you pay attention, the more you pay attention. The things that I have learned through a practice that did just start as writing down my food blows my mind. One of the things that journaling taught me is about what happens in my head when I'm not getting enough sleep. my emotional perspective is darker. It's almost like there's a filter put over my mind where everything just seems a little gloomier because I am tired. And when I'm rested, it's like that filter goes away and everything's okay. And the things that were frustrating me yesterday were only frustrating me because I wasn't sleeping enough. I also know that my emotions are at a really noticeable peak a couple days before I start my period. And I learned that from journaling. As you pay attention, you'll be blown away by the things you learn about yourself that you never knew. And this is not just me. I see this every single day with my clients. That is why the awareness piece is foundational to our 12 weeks to transformation. The more you notice about anything, the more you notice about everything. We could go into all sorts of strategies for moments of heightened emotion, but really, it is about awareness. And journaling is the practice by which we increase our awareness of everything. And then the second component to that is addressing the thing that reduces our awareness. And certainly there are many, but one of the big culprits is multitasking. When we multitask, we are paying less attention. So journaling is the tool by which we increase awareness. Multitasking is one of the behaviors by which we decrease our awareness. So if you're talking to a friend, be talking to a friend, not thinking about what you're going to say next or what happened yesterday or if you look fat the way you're sitting. When you're eating, eat. Don't be scrolling through Facebook or Instagram. Don't be watching TV because that decreases your awareness. Multitasking is going to decrease your awareness because you're just focused on so many things that you don't have the presence of mind what is happening in your experience, what is happening in your thoughts. Yeah, journaling. And the new identity journal, we're actually, Sarah and I both are sitting here staring at six boxes of identity journals that we're sending out to folks as they register for the spring 12 weeks to transformation. And I know for sure that that is going to be a game-changing tool. I'm super pumped about it. All right, well, we got another question.
What tools do you find useful for tracking your spending throughout the month?
Paper. This could be a game, like answering every question with one word first, because I think I've done that like the last few questions. You know, what I used to use was an Excel spreadsheet and pen and paper, really. I'm old school. And so I had an Excel spreadsheet. One tab was all of my debts, whether that was my mortgage, my car, credit cards, student loans. The next tab was my income. And I had a regular predictable paycheck at that point, so that was pretty easy. And then the next tab was everyday spending. And, you know, I would just write things down on paper and move it over into the spreadsheet. I always had a notebook of spending. But there are obviously tons of high-tech tools. I don't think there's a wrong one. It's just about picking one and then staying consistent with it. If I had to recommend a high-tech tool, I think Dave Ramsey's products are really solid, and they have a budgeting tool called Every Dollar, and a lot of people really, really love that. But don't let the complexity or, you know, spending money on software be a barrier to you, because an Excel spreadsheet or a pen and paper will do just fine. This next question, I think, is a loaded one, and I'm excited about it. What we got?
How do we help our children have a healthy approach to food? I have one child that's underweight, one that's overweight, and one in the middle. We are trying to reduce carbs and sugar, but it's hard to ban it altogether without creating food complexes.
I don't think anybody should ban anything ever. Seriously. I mean, aside from like drugs, don't do drugs. But food-wise, Sarah's laughing at me. let's get clear. I'm no drugs. No crime, no drugs. But from a food perspective, I don't care if you have kids in your house or you don't have kids in your house. Like, we don't have to ban anything. Now, there are things I don't like. I don't like olives. But they're not banned. So I completely agree with you that it is hard to ban food altogether, carbs and sugar or whatnot. Don't. It's not necessary. So let me start with my general advice to anybody who is trying to help their children or anybody else in their world. Be a lighthouse. This comes from something that Anne Lamott wrote that really wasn't about health, but I think it totally applies here. She says that lighthouses do not save people by going out into the water and dragging the boats in. Lighthouses save people because they are a light so bright that others are drawn to it. That is the way we can make an impact on anybody in our life in terms of our health. In your own home, be a lighthouse. Be a shining example of what it looks like to have a healthy relationship with food, to eat well, to eat when you're hungry and not eat when you're not hungry, to indulge on special occasions and not every single day. When you've got little kids, you're bringing the food into the house, so you get to decide what is there. You get to decide what's on the table at dinner time. Be a lighthouse. If you do not have a healthy relationship with food, if you are not turning to food when you're hungry just because you're hungry and not turning to food when you're bored, when you're emotional, etc., like, that is your opportunity right there. That's what matters most, not what you say to them. This is about what you eat, when you eat. Are you eating when you're hungry? Are you fueling your body brilliantly, consistently? Or are you eating the processed foods, you know, whenever they're in the house? I don't think this is about banning anything. But if you want to eliminate processed foods and sugar, like, which is great for you in being a lighthouse, just don't bring it into the house. We can't control what kids do when they're at school or when they're at friends' house, but when they're around us, be a bright, shining example. It's not about, so what I don't want for this individual who said, like, three little bears situation, you know, one is a little bit lighter, one is a little bit heavier, one's kind of in the middle. We don't want to treat their food differently because of their size. Because the way we eat, we're not eating to control our weight. We're eating to take great care of ourselves, right? And when we eat to take great care of ourselves, the weight stuff takes care of itself, especially over time. So approaching your kids' eating habits differently and, oh, this kid can have dessert or can have seconds because they're smaller than this kid, so they can't because they're bigger than the other. No. Demonstrate fueling your body brilliantly. I think that's really what it comes down to. Do we have any other questions?
We have one more, and I love that you're singing your ums again.
I didn't even realize that I do that. Somebody pointed that out on the webinar the other day. Somebody commented, my son loves that you sing your ums. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? And I just did it. I didn't even notice it. And you were laughing, and I didn't know why you were laughing. But yeah, I guess I do.
So we do have one more question, and it is, how do I think through the overwhelming feeling that the journey is too hard and too long?
You don't. Those two words. How do you think through this notion that the journey is too hard and too long? How do you think through that? You don't. You redirect it. Because tomorrow is entirely irrelevant. What are you able and willing to do today? You are the thinker. You are not the thought. You are not beholden to this focus on the future that overwhelms you. It doesn't own you. You created it. You created that overwhelm by focusing more on the future than the present. So I don't want you to think through it. I want you to redirect it every single time and put your attention on winning the day you're in, on what you're able and willing to do today. I think that's all I've got to say on that. I know that sounds oversimplified, but if you are overwhelmed, it is because you are giving too much of your energy to the future and not enough to the present. So when you feel that way, oh yeah, I'm over here in this day. Let me focus on what I can do this day because tomorrow ain't here yet. You know what I'm saying? All right. I think that was a pretty good, we got through a number of questions there and Sarah didn't die. So, how are you feeling? This is podcast episode number 2. I like having you with me on these Q&A podcasts.
I really appreciate being here. It's still just an uncomfortable thing, but I'm pushing through it. I'm getting there.
We can do hard things. All right. So guys, I want to remind you, we have a a listener win that I want to share. But before we do that, I want to remind you all that starting tomorrow, Sunday, March 24th, 8 p.m. Eastern time, I am doing something I've never done before, four-part online series, totally free workshop on these four elements of change that can be applied to any and every aspect of our lives: awareness, alignment, advancement, and adjustment. You can register. It's totally free. Just go to primalpotential.com/575 to register. And while you're there, the replay from that Q&A we mentioned all about the 12 weeks to transformation and how I coach people, what that's like, what you can expect, and my invitation for you to work with me this spring, you can check it out, primalpotential.com/575. Let's wrap up with one of your wins. I love sharing these. Please keep them coming. You can submit them where you submit your questions, primalpotential.com/inbox. It says, I haven't been working out for a little over a month and I'm starting a new job, but I want to use this time to get myself organized. I really want to emphasize exercise and self-care. I had a 30-day membership to the yoga studio close to my house. And my typical deal is I make a plan to go, write it down, think about it, and then I don't go. I went 3 times last week and I decided to go this past Saturday. I got up, started drinking my coffee, and sat on the couch with my book and decided I'm not going to yoga. I didn't feel good about the decision. So I decided that I would at least get up, take a shower, and get dressed for yoga, but I didn't commit to go. Fortunately, by the time I got ready, I talked myself into going and the class was great. I'm so happy for that new follow through. I love that. And I was just talking about that the other day, how even though I've been working out consistently for a really long time, I never want to go. I never want to go. But I never leave the gym and go, well, that sucked. That wasn't worth it. So sometimes, just like we talked about with motivation, do the thing and the motivation flows from the action. All right, so we've got tons of reasons for you to head over to the show notes, primalpotential.com/575. If you've got questions that you want us to answer on this show, primalpotential.com/inbox. We'll chat with you guys soon. Make it a great day. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.